Friends, I've been looking forward to sharing with you, and even though we're unable to be together, it's still good to be able to open God's Word and to be able to look and see how He speaks to us in so many ways. And I've chosen a place that perhaps many of you have not seen. I don't know how many of you have gone for a drive and driven into some of the burnt country that is around about us in East Gippsland, but we're off the now Bruthen Road, where the highway sort of runs across as people cut across towards Bairnsdale. And we're only about 4 kilometres, I guess, to about the north of that. And down a track called Evans Track, which is off Dead Horse Creek Track. So that, if you're wondering where we are, that's where we are. And as I look across to my right, there's the Tembo Valley, which is if you could see the detail of the hills, you would see the tops of the hills have been burnt, and all around us here has been burnt with some of the growth that is now showing up in the tree trunks and some of the growth that's coming up from stumps and on the ground with a lot of wattle and tea tree that's going to grow quite thick. And I thought it was a good setting for what I want to share with you today about the challenges that in life we face and the challenge that we have faced as a district with the fires that have been. And sometimes I think they can be overwhelming, and certainly this fire has overwhelmed the environment and overwhelmed a lot of people's homes and livelihoods and farms and has been a hard time for us as a community to walk through. One of the things that has survived and thrived actually is mosquitoes, and we've got a lot of them buzzing around, and we'll just try and ignore them. We've put the repellent on pretty well, so I think they won't sit on me for very long. But I wonder whether we're a community that's up for the challenge. And I think life is filled with many challenges. And one of the things that has stood out in the book that we've been looking at as a church, 1 Peter, is Peter causing us to really face up to the reality of struggling and the reality of suffering, the reality of challenges in our lives that are not proof that God has lost interest or God is not powerful or God is not loving, which so often people will react that way and say, well, if these hard things are happening, where's God? Well, why does God let, you know, bad things happen to good people? That's a fairly common saying. But I believe that we live in a world that's broken. We live in a world where our sin has consequences. And we live in a world where we can prove the power of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. And we can be a courageous community. We can be a community of grace, but we can also be that courageous community that the world needs to see. And I want to kind of explore that in a kind of putting things simply, hoping that you will consider things deeply, and dare I even ask that you might apply things practically. So let me just read right up front something that I was not going to sleep last night as I would have liked to, and I had these verses in Philippians come to my mind. And I want to share them with you today, and that you would know them well. But I would like you actually to open your Bibles perhaps after this and look at it and go back a few verses into chapter 1. Maybe go back to chapter 1, verse 27, and look at the context. Because sometimes we love the verses that speak words of comfort in us, but don't realise they're actually in the context of pretty significant challenges. And that's where this is set. And it says, after confessing to the challenges that were real, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now I'm asking you to go back, open your Bibles, look up Philippians chapter 1 and read the verses that come before this, because it's a letter. It's not broken up like we have the convenience of broken up in chapters and verses. It's a letter, and I would love you just to just look at the context of that and be people who would face the challenge of life, and we be a community that can face up to the challenges that are real and are around about us, and that we don't shrink back. We're going to worship the Lord with a song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And I love this song because, and we've had it a few weeks ago, and I have no apologies for using it again, because it just, every line says something great. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Foretaste of what? Foretaste of glory, divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Every line says something absolutely amazing, and I pray that it would just put courage in your heart to know that you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your anchor, as your strong place, as your cornerstone, as your Savior, your Lord, and your friend.
Good morning, everybody. It's Daniel here again from my lounge room. So it's good to be together, even if we can only really do this over YouTube. But that's okay. We can do what we can, and then soon, hopefully, when everything gets a little bit back to some sort of normal, we can even make some smaller groups and then some big groups, and we'll see what happens. But for now, this is what we got. So last time I did this, we talked about Joshua and the Israelites and how they trusted God when they came to the city of Jericho, even though what God said didn't seem to make much sense. But they trusted God, and it worked out really, really well for them. Now, today I'm going to share another story with you guys, and this one comes out of the Old Testament. And the characters in this story, the important ones, are one character is called Elisha, and Elisha was like the student of Elijah. So those names are a bit similar, so it's a little bit confusing. But so Elisha has worked with Elijah, who was one of God's really special people. And they did lots of miracles and helped lots of people. So Elijah's gone to heaven now, and Elisha is doing all the things that him and Elijah did together. Now, there's a woman in this story, and her husband isn't alive anymore. So that's pretty sad for her. And she's got two sons. And one important thing to know about her husband is that he actually did some work for Elisha and Elijah. He was one of their, he was sort of one of their students, but he died, and his family owes lots of money to another man. So with that said, let's jump straight into the story. All right, here we go. This story is called Jars of Oil. So it says, Elisha helped many people. One day he met a woman, and she was very upset. She said, please help me. I owe a man some money. And that's like lots of money. And it was very, very hard for mums with kids if they didn't have a husband back in Elisha's day, because they had to rely on the generosity of other people. So it was really, they couldn't really work very much. And so yeah, it was pretty hard for them. So they had to rely on people helping them until their sons grew up, and then their sons could look after them. And she said, if I do not pay him, the woman said, he will make my sons become his slaves. So the man would take her sons away, and the sons would have to work. Elisha asked her, do you own anything? What is in your house? She said, I have a little oil. And she's probably thinking, oil's not really going to do me very much. Like, I can't sell it because I still will owe lots of money. Elisha said, gather some empty jars from your friends, then go inside and pour your oil into them. The woman obeyed, and God made her tiny bit of oil fill all the jars. Now, I feel like this is kind of a Jericho moment here where she's like, I need some help. I owe lots of money. And Elisha says, go ask your neighbors for lots of empty jars. And she's thinking to herself, I can't really see how this is going to help me. But did she trust him and did she trust God? She's got all these jars and she's got this little jug of oil with a little bit of oil left in it. And then she gets all these empty jars and borrows lots of jars off her neighbours and then goes out and gets some more jars. And then the woman and her two boys, they go into their room and they close the door and they start filling all these jars out of her little one jug. She trusted that Elisha and God would help her. And she started pouring and the oil just kept coming. And then her son gets the next jar and the oil keeps coming. And this son's like going, Mom, we've got all these full jars. The table's not going to take it. Well, maybe the table did take it. But it would have been so exciting for them to see how God helped them. Says she sold all the oil and paid the man back. She took care of her family with the leftover money. So there wasn't just enough money from selling all the oil to pay the man back and pay off her debts. But she also had money to look after her family until her sons could be big enough to work and look after her. Because that's what used to have to happen back in those days. So I think it's important to remember with stories like that that the Bible gives us, with those little bits of history, that we can trust God even when it doesn't make sense. And when we do ask God for help and we feel like we get an answer or we get some instructions, even if the instructions seem really a little bit crazy, we can trust God with those things. So it's important to remember that when you do pray and you do ask for help, that when you feel like God is saying something, that you just jump right into that and you trust him, because God can do something really special when we trust him. But yeah, God doesn't always want to help us the way that we think it should happen, because I don't think that the lady thought that she's like, oh, I think Elisha should help me, but maybe he'll just give me some money. But God wanted to do something else in that situation, and he did something amazing. So I think that's really important to remember. So what we might do now is pray together, and yeah, I hope you guys have a good morning or evening or whenever you're watching this. So let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for all the little ones that we have in this faith community, in our church. And I want to thank you so much for the blessing that it is to be part of this body together and part of this family, even when we can't be together at the moment. And I just want to ask that you would bless them and that they would learn every day to trust you more and more, and that they would know you more and more and how much you love them. I want to thank you for them, for the blessings that they are. And I pray that that they would know you more and more every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. I will catch you next time. See ya.
Hello everyone at Lakes Entrance Baptist Church. I hope you are keeping safe and well. Just an update on Hugo, who is currently fast asleep. He is now 6 months old and doing very well. And I know that there are lots of you looking forward to meeting him and having a good catch up very soon. I wanted to make a short video to help encourage others within the church who may be struggling at this moment in time, because it is a challenging time and I think we could all do with a little bit of encouragement to help us through. So earlier in the week I was struggling with accepting the situation that it will probably be at least another year or more before I see my family again, and I was in the car feeling very down, emotional, and just brooding on those feelings, when a song came on the radio and the lyrics of the song just spoke to me, and I really feel like it was God speaking to me and answering my prayers and answering me on those feelings. I would like to share those lyrics with you. And the song went, "Where are you now? When darkness seems to win. Where are you now? When the world is crumbling. I hear you say, look up, child. Where are you now when all I feel is doubt? Where are you now when I can't figure it out? I hear you say, look up, child. You're not threatened by the war. You're not shaken by the storm. I know you're in control. Even in that suffering, even when it can't be seen, I know you're in control. And I really felt God say to me, I've got this. I'm here. I never left. I know how this ends, and I have got this. And yeah, God is still here. He never left. And he is completely in control. Even when we're feeling low, feeling hopeless, not really knowing how things are going to go, God's got this. We can cast all of our worries, our anxieties on him, because he cares for us. He is still there. He's still hearing our prayers. And we can go to him for that comfort. We can take our sadness and our worries to him. And he can wrap his arms around us and just give us his love and comfort. He is in control. And I just really wanted to encourage others, because I know there are others in the church in the same situation, separated from family. And it's hard. But just know, God's in control and he's got this. And we can go to him for comfort. I hope to see you all again very soon. Take care.
Well, thank you, Daniel, for sharing with the boys and girls. And I know it's not just the boys and girls who look forward to our interaction time. So I really appreciate that things are put simply, but they're things that can still be considered deeply and applied practically. And actually, that's what I want for us to do as all of God's people. I would like us to, to try and seek to understand the real crux. I want to put things simply. I want for us to actually consider things deeply, and I would want for us also to have the courage to apply things practically. Now, I think that would be reasonable. Otherwise, it's just information that sort of fills up here but never touches our hearts. I'm one who tires pretty quickly of theorizing and philosophizing. And as I look around me here, I see the result of theory that clearly has not been good for our environment. And I believe things need to be reconsidered with forest management and with response to lightning strikes and things like that, which will bring huge benefit to our bush and also to the communities that live in them like we do. And I don't think much of just theorizing with God's word either, or just philosophizing about it. I think we need to be ones who would dig in deeply and come to grips with the truth. And I imagine if I was a follower of Jesus and you a follower of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and you're part of the dispersion, part of the believers that were scattered all around the place, mainly up into Turkey where this is addressed, and you didn't have much of the Word of God, like we've got the whole library here, and you didn't have the Old Testament, or maybe you had a bit of Isaiah or some of Psalms, and maybe a couple of letters from a couple of the church leaders that now we have collected, and we see that they're inspired and they're just so precious to us. I reckon if we just had what we've been looking at, we could really come to grips with what it means to truly follow Jesus. And I hope that you are doing just that. You're digging in and you're letting his word take you places. I think it could take you places where you have no doubt about who Jesus is and what he came and did, and how essential that was. And the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, God in human flesh, he comes and he personally intervenes in your dilemma, my dilemma, the horrible consequence of our sin and the offense that is to God. And he pays it himself. He pays it all. Jesus paid it all. And that's an amazing thing. Peter was makes no bones about that. He was the one who would try and dissuade Jesus from going to the cross. He said, Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. And so I believe that we we come to an understanding, as Peter did, that my sins, your sins, they cost Jesus his life. And Peter makes no bones about that. He says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and be alive for righteousness. He says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And so something amazing has happened, that we might be God's people again. And I'm in no doubt that this letter gives us a new clarity. It opens up the opportunity for us to be a new community, and it gives us the opportunity to have a new condition in our hearts. We once had an empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but now we're born again, and born again of imperishable seed, the very truth of the Word of God sown into our lives that reveals Christ, that causes us to be born again. I believe, you know, once we had things that warred against our souls, our evil human desires that warred against our souls, but now we have a shepherd of our soul, a shepherd and an overseer of our soul, and that being Jesus Christ himself. Once we were classed by God rightly as the unrighteous, and yet it was Jesus, the righteous one, who died for us. And we are saved by his resurrection, saved by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has authority and power over all things. And so, you know, we have the opportunity to have this new clarity in our lives. And I pray that you have that. We're a chosen people. We're people who belong. We're people who are built into a new community. And last week I called it a community of grace. And I wonder whether we might not only be a community of grace, but be a community where we have, we're a courageous community. We know what we're about. We have this new clarity, but we also know that we're part of a new community. And it's not about the old patterns of how church used to be. It's about that we belong to Christ. And the implications of that mean that now we can think fairly biblically, we can think biblically, we can think fairly creatively, and work out what the way ahead might be. That was a mosquito that nearly became my lunch. And so we're in this new community where we're like living stones, like Jesus, built together. We're not just a stone. I'm actually standing on a big boulder here that's been burnt and all flaky and cracked. But we're living stones built on Christ, built in Christ, and we're there to demonstrate and to show something that the world needs to see. We're a new community where there's harmony and sympathy and brotherly love and compassion and humility and blessing and hospitality and generosity. It's a community of grace. It's a different community that the world needs to see. And in chapter 4, verse 10, one of my favorite verses, it says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, administering God's grace in its various forms. How amazing is that? I was listening to a short message from Robin Mark, one of my favorite songwriters, and it'll be one. I'll actually put the link at the bottom of this message so that you can look at it yourself. It's just a bit of personal reflection and encouragement. And he uses the term, yeah, just dish out God's grace. And I thought, what a lovely way to say, because that's what it means, to administer God's grace, to be a conduit of grace in the world about us. And we, as a community of believers, not just individuals, but as a community of believers, are called to administer God's grace. Whatever gift you've received, whatever gift you've received, whatever gift you've received, or whatever gift I've received, we use it to administer God's grace in its various forms. A community of grace, ministering grace, and a community that is a courageous community that knows what it's about. Not only are we a new community, but we're people that actually can live with a new condition. And I think this is something that Peter really, really pushes, because we're not going to just operate the way we used to. We're not just going to give in to the pressures that are around us. We're not going to be overwhelmed by the challenges or the struggles or the suffering that is just a normal part of life, because there's a new condition in our hearts. Now, this is a word that I'm accepting for myself. as well as sharing with you, because I need to grab hold of this as much to you, and I'm seeking to put it as simply that you might consider it deeply and you would apply it practically, we would apply it practically together. You know, when I belong to Jesus, when you belong to Jesus, that gives me a new identity. But it's more than just a new identity. It means that I identify with Jesus. Jesus paid it all. He made it possible that we could be his. And we are called to identify with him, to take up our cross and follow him. Because he is the one that has surely brought us to God. It's not a case of a hope so faith. It's not a case of, well, if I'm as good as I possibly can be, God would accept me, kind of religious kind of attempts at working our way toward God. It's Jesus paid it all. Jesus has done it all. And now I belong to God because I accept what has been done for me. And I accept that it's been done for a reason, that I might live with a new condition, with a new heart, that I might have a different heart, a different mind, a different purpose. And I think Peter, when he speaks of the challenges and the suffering that brothers and sisters were facing then and we face now, he's not being negative. He's actually being really positive about the challenge, and that Peter is actually saying there's a purpose, there's something purposeful in this situation. He says in verse 12 of chapter 4, friends, dear friends, do not be surprised at this painful trial that you are suffering as though something strange was happening to you. And you know, he speaks about insult, he speaks about people thinking strangely of believers, he speaks about people heaping abuse on them, speaking maliciously, slandering them. And you know, in Australia we would have situations where, you know, we might be bypassed for a promotion. We might be sniggered about, or we might be not included in the in crowd because we're not a good fit. We follow Jesus and we don't follow the crowd. And, you know, we might be bypassed. We might be disadvantaged. We might be disliked. People might set to and even try and find fault with us. But no matter what the situation, don't be worried about the trial. Don't be worried about the suffering. Because God has got a purpose in that, and that's for you to glorify him. In verse 16, it says, you know, however, if you do suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. But you bear the name of one where Christ is in you. Again, put simply in verse 19, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Now that's put simply, isn't it? It's put simply, and I trust that you would consider that deeply, and I trust that you would apply it practically. You know, those who suffer, that's, you're not going to avoid it. If you're breathing, you're going to face some challenges. If you're a follower of Jesus, you will face some very real challenges. You're going to face spiritual opposition. You're going to face social opposition because you follow Jesus, because you're different. You've got the character and the nature of Jesus growing in you. And that's going to be either the smell of life to some or the smell of death to others. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Don't be bluffed. Don't lose your courage. And I pray that, yes, that we would be a community of grace, but we would be a courageous community. And that we would be looking for ways, praying about ways that we can step up to the mark, even with COVID-19 restrictions, even with the world worrying about second and third waves of infection. I believe this is the time for the church to look biblically at what the church has been, look biblically at what the church needs to be, hold very loosely the things that we've gotten used to, and look at ways that we can connect. Our premier has given us a magic number. You know, you can have 11 people gathering, a faith leader and 10 other people gathering outdoors. You know, I sort of look at that, and what happened when Jesus ascended? There were 11 waiting, as Jesus said, for the Holy Spirit to be given. And what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out on that 11? Well, we see the world changes. We see the church born. We see an exciting story unfolding that nobody expected. I wonder if there, let's say for the number of folks that gather here in Lakes Entrance, at Lakes Entrance Baptist Church, imagine if there were, say, 11 groups of 11, 11 faith leaders who would say, yep, I'm willing to kind of facilitate people getting together. We will look for creative ways. Some of us might go and light a fire, like a little barbecue fire in the bush, and we might sit around. And that's one of the things we're going to do. And meet together. We just do church in the bush. Some of us might do church in a restaurant. Some of us might do church out on the front lawn of the church building. And as restrictions change, we can be flexible and move with it. I think this is going to be with us for a long time. And I believe as a church, we need to just step up to the mark. Not wait for 20 or 50 or 100 who can meet together. But considering how the early church stepped up to the mark, we in our time in 2020 need to do likewise. And face the suffering. There'll be those who have been part of the church as it's been who won't like it. Well, let's look at things biblically and let's step forward in line with God's word. And let's not back away simply because it doesn't fit in with the preferences, our own personal preferences. Well, people who have this new clarity, people who have this new community, people who have this new condition, and instead of giving in to the old condition that we have all inherited, we shouldn't be surprised, we shouldn't be ashamed, we shouldn't be have any sense of aloneness, and we shouldn't give up. Because Jesus has paid it all. And we should not be worried. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, verse 14 it says, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. I pray that you would buy in with this new clarity to this new community with a new condition. I pray that I've put it simply. I pray that I have given you opportunity to consider deeply, and I pray that we would have the courage to apply practically what the Word of God says to us today. And I pray that all is well with your soul because He is God in control. Friends, I know that you can spend time in prayer yourselves, but if you would like me to lead you in prayer, I'd be only too pleased to do that. Lord God, we offer you thanks that we are a people whom you have called. And Lord, you've made it so that we're a people who have a new clarity because the gospel has been made plain to us. The good news, it changes lives. The fact that Jesus has paid it all. And we would thank you that we are now brought into a new community, and a new community that, Lord, has to find its way, Lord, in these challenging times. Father, I pray we would be not those who shrink back, but we would be those who just so relish the salvation that you have provided so lovingly and generously for us, that we might together find new ways to function together, even in smaller groups, that we might fulfill what you've called us to. We would also want to lift up our brothers and sisters, Lord, who face challenge at this time and face bereavement and a sense of separation as, Lord, we grieve together. We pray, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient for us, that your strength would be made perfect in our weakness. We pray that there would be a deep and true sense of the comfort of your love, of the fellowship of the Spirit, of the unity that we have together that holds and keeps us and cares for us as we face, Lord, sadness, as we face challenge, and as we face suffering together. We'd ask, Lord, your blessing, Lord, apportioned and your grace lavished upon each one. And we pray that we would know the power of your love and the privilege of it truly being well with our souls. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you make this entirely possible. And we thank you in your great name. Amen.